Chapter 91. It was very foolish to fall in love on the strength of four dances. Younger lady evasively, fall in love? Who said I had fallen in love? What a funny idea. Elder lady, is it? Now here come the island brigade with their pipes and their island laddie. How the sweethearts cling to the men's arms. Reaching forward. There are more regiments following. But look, that gentleman opposite knows us. I cannot remember his name.
She bows and calls across.
Sir, which are these? Gentleman opposite, the 92nd. Next come the 49th, and next the 42nd Sir Dennis Pack's brigade. Elder lady, thank you. I think it is that gentleman we talked to at the Duchess's, but I am not sure.
A pause. Another band.
Gentleman opposite, that's the 28th.
They pass, with their band and colors.
Now the 32nd are coming up part of Kemp's brigade. Endless, are they not? Elder lady, yes, sir. Has the Duke passed out yet? Gentleman opposite, not yet. Some cavalry will go by first, I think. The foot coming up now are the 79th.
They pass.
These next are the 95th.
They pass.
These are the first foot guards now.
They pass, playing Rhydish grenadiers.
The fusilier guards now.
They pass.
Now the Coldstreamers.
They pass. He looks up towards the park.
Several Hanoverian regiments under Colonel Best are coming next.
They pass, with their bands and colors. An interval.
Elder lady, two daughter, here are the hussars. How much more they carry to battle than at reviews. The hay in those great nets must encumber them.
She turns and sees that her daughter has become pale.
Ah, now I know. He has just gone by. You exchanged signals with him, you wicked girl. How do you know what his character is, or if he'll ever come back?
The younger lady goes and flings herself on her face upon the bed, sobbing silently. Her mother glances at her, but leaves her alone. An interval. The prancing of a group of horsemen is heard on the cobblestones without.
Gentleman opposite, calling, here comes the Duke. Elder lady, to younger, you have left the window at the most important time. The Duke of Wellington and his staff officers are passing out. Younger lady, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see anything anymore.
Riding down the street comes Wellington in a gray frock coat and small cocked hat, frigid and undemonstrative, accompanied by four or five generals of his suite, the Deputy Quartermaster General Delancey, Lord Fitzroy Somerset, aide-de-camp, and General Muffling.
Gentleman opposite, he is the Prussian officer attached to our headquarters, through whom Wellington communicates with Blücher, who, they say, is threatened by the French at Ligny at this moment.
The elder lady turns to her daughter, and going to the bed bends over her, while the horses tramp of Wellington, and his staff clatters more faintly in the street, and the music of the last retreating band dies away towards the forest of Soignes. Finding her daughter is hysterical with grief, she quickly draws the window curtains to screen the room from the houses opposite. Scene ends.
Scene B, the field of Ligny, the same day later.
A prospect of the battlefield of Ligny southward from the roof of the windmill of Bussy, which stands at the center and highest point of the Prussian position, about 6 miles southeast of Quatre Bras. The ground slopes downward along the whole front of the scene to a valley through which wanders the Lynn, a muddy stream beordered by sallows. On both sides of the stream, in the middle plane of the picture, stands the village of Ligny, composed of thatched cottages, gardens, and farmhouses with stone walls. The main features, such as the church, churchyard, and village green being on the further side of the Lynn. On that side the land reascends in green wheat fields to an elevation somewhat greater than that of the foreground, reaching away to Flourus in the right-hand distance. In front, on the slopes between the spectator and the village, is the first corps of the Prussian army commanded by Zieten, its first brigade under Steinmetz occupying the most salient point. the core under Thielman is ranged to the left, and that of Perch to the rear, in reserve to Zayatin. In the center front, just under the mill, Blucher on a fine gray charger is intently watching, with his staff. Something dark is seen to be advancing over the horizon by Flourus, about 3 miles off. It is the van of Napoleon's army, approaching to give battle. At this moment hoofs are heard clattering along a road that passes behind the mill, and there come round to the front the Duke of Wellington, his staff officers, and a small escort of cavalry. Wellington and Blucher greet each other at the foot of the windmill. They disappear inside, and can be heard ascending the ladders. Enter on the roof Wellington and Blucher, followed by Fitzroy Somerset, Nisenet, Muffling, and others. Before renewing their conversation they peer through their glasses at the dark movements on the horizon. Wellington's manner is deliberate, judicial, almost indifferent. Blucher's eager and impetuous. Wellington, they muster not as yet in near such strength at Quatre Bras as here. Blucher, 'tis from Flourus they come debouching. I, perforce, withdrew my forward posts of cavalry at dawn in face of their light cannon. They'll be here, I reckon, soon. Wellington, still with glass,
I clearly see his staff, and if my eyes don't lie, the arch one too. It is the whole imperial army, prince, that we've before us.
A silence.
Well, we'll cope with them. What would you have me do?
Blucher is so absorbed in what he sees that he does not heed.
Nice in it, Duke, this I'd say. Events suggest to us that you come up with all your force behind the village here and act as our reserve. Muffling, but Bonaparte, pray note, has redistributed his strength in fashion that you fail to recognize. I am against your scheme.
Blucher, lowering his glass,
signs notify Napoleon's plans as changed. He purports now to strike our left between Sombref and Bry. If so, I have to readjust my ward. Wellington, one of his two divisions, that we scan out spreading from Flourus, seems bent on Ligny, the other on Saint-Amand. Blucher, well, I shall see in half an hour, your grace. If what I deem be what he means, von Zayatin's corps forthwith must stand to their positions. Perch out here, Henkel at Ligny, Steinmetz at La Haye. Wellington, so that, your excellency, as I opine, I go and sling my strength on their left wing maneuvering to outflank them on that side. Blucher, true. Our plan uncovers of itself. You bear down everything from Quatre Bras along the road to Frasnes. Wellington, I will, by God. I'll bear straight on to Gosselies, if needs. Nice in it, your excellencies, if I may be a judge, such movement will not tend to unity. It leans too largely on a peradventure most speculative in its contingencies.
A silence, till the officers of the staff remark to each other that concentration is best in any circumstances. A general discussion ensues.
Blucher, concludingly, we will expect you, Duke, to our support. Wellington, I must agree that, in the sum, it's best. So be it then. If not attack myself, I'll come to you. Now I return with speed to Quatre Bras. Blucher and I descend from here to give close eye and thought to things below. No more can well be studied where we stand.
Exeunt from roof Wellington, Blucher and the rest. They reappear below, and Wellington and his suite gallop furiously away in the direction of Quatre Bras. An interval.
Dumb show below, 3 reports of a cannon give the signal for the French attack. Napoleon's army advances down the slopes of green corn opposite, bands and voices joining in songs of victory. The French come in 3 grand columns. Vandamme's on the left,
the spectators right,
against Saint-Amand, the most forward angle of the Prussian position. Gerard's in the center bear down upon Ligny. Grouchy's on the French right is further back. Far to the rear can be discerned Napoleon, the Imperial Guard, and Milhaud's cuirassiers halted in reserve. This formidable advance is preceded by swarms of tirailleurs, who tread down the high wheat, exposing their own men in the rear. Amid cannonading from both sides, they draw nearer to the Prussians, though lanes are cut through them by the latter's guns. They drive the Prussians out of Ligny, who, however, rally in the houses, churchyard, and village green. Spirit of the Pities, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.